God is indeed a faithful God, isn't he? I have a little story of my own. By the way, I beat you when it comes to the shoes. I showed up several years ago to church in two different I pulled into the parking lot and I stepped out and I couldn't believe I did this. Oh my God. No, but I hope no one saw. I sat way in the back, and as soon as Pastor said amen, I scooped it. Okay, so. Okay, where's my list? Oh my God. I was preparing my lesson, you know, just putting the finishing touches on it, but there was something that I needed to tie together. And I needed a scripture, and I just couldn't get it. You know, I sort of knew what I wanted to say, but it just wasn't coming. And look how good God is. This morning, I woke up, you know, and I'm kind of going over the lesson. And I got a text from a friend that I used to go to church with back home, back in Diana. He was the pastor's son. And every single morning he sends me something, you know, inspirational from the Word. And he sent me a scripture. And it was exactly what I needed for my lesson. Isn't God good? I mean, there I was, you know, I think sometimes we stress about stuff too much, you know? But God has got it. He's faithful. And he sent the scripture to me, and as soon as I saw it, he didn't know anything. You know, we haven't spoken. Only and I haven't spoken, oh my God, it's probably like 30 years. It's been a long time. So we don't communicate verbally, but, you know, on the internet, he'll send me all these Christian stuff. And he sent me exactly what I needed. So that helped me with my, you know, confirm that I was on the right track, because the whole time I was like, you know, the Lord had dropped the lesson into my spirit, but I was quite sure how it was going to come together. But you know, obedience is the key. Remember the story with the 10 lepers? The Bible said as they went, Jesus told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. As I, you know, started the type, it just started to come together. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. You care about us. Every single detail, Lord, you already know about it. You have it worked out. And Lord, we can depend upon you. We can trust you. Father, I commit this lesson to you. I believe you gave it to me. And as I prepare, Lord, to give it to your people, I ask, Lord, that you will give me the utterance, Lord, so that I can deliver this word in the manner in which it ought to be given. I pray, Father, Lord, that those that are hearing it will hear what the Spirit is saying, and that they will receive this word, and that it will be an encouragement to them. It will be a blessing to them in times when the enemy is trying to put doubt and fear into their hearts. Thank you, Lord, once again for using me. I give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my lesson has disappeared. Thank God I always have backup. So our story, at first I entitled it Abigail Makes a Huge Difference, but then the Lord changed it and he said Abigail Saves the Day. Deborah was trying to figure out who Abigail. So I'm going to tell you. Now our story begins in 2 Samuel chapter 25, and this is about David. We all know David slew Goliath. So, you know, you don't slay a giant like Goliath and not be famous. You know, word spread. I mean, they didn't have cell phones and stuff in those days, but it's amazing how the news just spread. And so, you know, the surrounding neighbors, you know, people, they knew about David. And Saul became jealous of David because you know, after David slew Goliath, the women were singing, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And he was upset. He said, you know, they're attributing to me thousands, but to him, tens of thousands. And so he began to watch David very carefully. And he began to scheme against him, how he was going to get rid of him, because he recognized that David was going to be king. You remember? He was rejected because he disobeyed God. And so that's just a little foundation there for you. So let's read in verse 2. A certain man in Maon who had property there in Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep. That's a lot of cattle. Which he was sharing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say unto him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that there's sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were in Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Now when you have thousands of sheep and goats, you know, there's the possibility of wolves and maybe bears and lions, you know, predators to come in and eat the cattle. But David and his men, they protected Nabal's cattle. Nothing was lost. And so David, you know, is requesting from Nabal a gift of food, and you know, it was sheep shearing time. I don't know much about sheep, but back in those days, that's when I guess they shared the sheep, they trimmed the wool off the sheep, and you know, and they, I guess it was sort of like harvest time, and they would throw a big party and celebrate, and they had lots of food and, you know, lots of stuff to eat. And David now was in the wilderness. Remember, he was running from Saul because Saul was out to kill him. And he had a lot of men with him. And so he saw this as an opportunity for them to get something good to eat. I guess sort of like Survivor. And so David said, please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find. Now remember early we read that Nabal was a surly and mean in his dealings. He was not a nice person. Okay, so Nabal answered David's servants, who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? He was ungrateful. I mean, how else can you describe it? He returned evil for good. So David's men returned to him. And, you know, they told him what Nabal said. And David became very angry. Who can blame him? You know, when you're nice to someone, even if you're not expecting anything in return, you don't expect them to be rude to you like that, you know? But Nabal was rude. He said, I'm not giving him my meat. And, you know, and I mean, who is he anyway? You know, he's probably some rebel that's rising up against his master. He did not think much of David at all. And so he flew into, David was angry, and he said to his men, each of you strap your sword. So they did. And David strapped his on as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. Nabal's ingratitude incurred the wrath of David. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, that's, now you know who Abigail is. David sent messengers from the wilderness to our master, his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. The men, are reporting to Abigail, these men were good to us. They protected us. We haven't lost anything the whole time we were there. But Nabal was rude, and he mistreated them. And they continued to say to her, to Abigail, they said, night and day, there were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do. These men are a lot smarter than Nabal, aren't they? They said to Abigail, think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man, and no man can talk to him. He was unreasonable, rude, you just couldn't speak to him. And so after Abigail heard this, she acted quickly. She obviously heard about David, and she knew about his exploits and stuff. And so she jumped into action. And our story says that she loaded up as much food as possible, and she set out to intercede and mediate against any adverse action determined by David. Now, when the Lord dropped this, I got up one morning just going about my morning routine, and he just dropped the word Abigail into my spirit. And I thought, Abigail. And then the whole story, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit, in a second, he can just download stuff, So he downloaded, and, the rest of the week, I was thinking, I'm still teaching on prayer, by the way. I'm thinking, how can I reconcile Abigail and prayer together? But the word says we prophesy in part and we know in part. God doesn't give us everything, immediate. I wish he would. I really wish he would, but he doesn't. He'll give you a little here and a little there. And so as I meditated on the lesson, it began to come together. I'm telling you, this is a surprise to me too. I'm teaching myself as well as I'm teaching you. So she loaded up 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheets of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs. That's a lot of food. And she loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, you go ahead and I'll follow. But she didn't tell her husband, Nabal. Now, sometimes us wives, we can't tell our husbands everything. I'm sorry. it may not be the right time, to tell them. Sometimes we have to pick the time when we're going to, ease them into certain things. So she loaded up these donkeys with all this stuff, but she didn't say a word to Nabal. As she came riding on her donkey into the mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending toward her. And she met them. David had just said, it's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing, and he has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with him. May God deal with David. Be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. I mean, disaster was on the way. David was angry. Sometimes you don't want to rile up a future king. And Nabal, he didn't care. Oh, okay, there we go. And so she met, David met Abigail right on time. We used to have a confession that I still say occasionally, my steps are ordered of the Lord. God orders my steps. I'm in the right place at the right time to meet the right people. If she had been 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late, there's no telling what, by the time David got to Nabal's house, what could have happened? But she met him on the way. And our story goes on to say that, you know, she got off of her donkey. And she, you know, before I go there, isn't that how Satan operates? He stir up some trouble. He gets us angry. And, you know, and we react. You know how we have, we, you know, somebody ruffle our feathers and we react. And then before you know it, it's a full-blown strife. And then it goes worse. It gets worse than the thing really deserves. Well, this is what happened between Nabal and David. You know, David took care of Nabal and Nabal's sheep. Nabal was rude, didn't share anything. David got mad, and he said, I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to show him, you know. But thankfully, God ordered Abigail's step in the right time, and she met David on the way. And when she saw David, she got off of her donkey and she bowed before him. She bowed, she showed reverence, she felt her feet, and she said, pardon your servant, my Lord, and speak, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please, she's beseeching him, pay no attention, my Lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. Immediately, do you see how she's disarming David? I mean, this is the last thing David is expecting, to see a woman, and she's very beautiful. The story says she was very beautiful and she was very wise. Here she is, you know, that must have been an uncommon sight, to see a bunch of, you know, donkeys, I don't know how many donkeys, and, you know, loaded with stuff. And here is this woman, and she's pleading with him. She said, ignore him. His name is Nabal, it means fool. Folly goes with him, right? She began to mediate, and she began to intercede on her husband's behalf and on the household. Because remember, David said, you know, by morning, none of his people, nobody in his household is going to be alive. I'm going to wipe them all out. But one woman disarmed the whole conflict. One woman. In wisdom, she used wisdom, and she showed David reverence, which Nabal didn't do. And she began to speak softly to David. What does the Bible say? A soft word turn away wrath. Yes. So the story was developing, and I'm thinking, yeah, but Pastor said prayer, continual prayer. And I'm trying to, you know, I just, Lord, how does this work? And the Holy Spirit dropped it into my spirit, you know, that she interceded.
That's right.
And she mediated. She was both an intercessor and a mediator. And so I still had a little bit of problem. I'm thinking, well, are the two the same? You know, I just couldn't reconcile. For some reason, I couldn't reconcile it. So I began to, you know, research things. You know, sometimes we have to work. The Holy Spirit will give us stuff. But there are times when we have to do some digging for ourselves. So I dug around, and this is what I found on Bible Hub. To mediate and to intercede are both conciliatory acts. The intercessor and the mediator are equals or even inferiors. One intercedes or interposes for the removal of evil. One mediates for the attainment of good. So Abigail is a type of Christ. Isn't that amazing? What does Christ do? He intercedes between God and man, and he mediates. I mean, I've never seen this. You know how many times I've read this story? But, you know, the Holy Spirit knows. And, he can pull things out from the scripture that we would never think about. And so, there were some other things, some other definitions and stuff, but this one spoke to me. Christ is our intercessor to avert from us the consequences of our guilt. He is our mediator to obtain for us blessings of grace and salvation. An intercessor only pleads. A mediator guarantees. He, the mediator, takes upon himself a responsibility. What did Jesus do? He took the responsibility of the whole world on him, and he hung on that cross and shed his blood, because his blood was the only thing that could appease God for our sins. So he guarantees. Christ is our intercessor by virtue of his relationship with God. He's the Son of God. So his word carries some weight too. He's our mediator by virtue of his atonement, by which act he takes upon himself the sins of all who are truly penitent. When we repent and we ask forgiveness for our sins, his blood atones for us. Abigail, she pled with David to spare her husband and her household by bringing to David's attention that God gave him an escape from shedding blood. Now remember, David wasn't quite king yet, but he was going to be. A lot of times when I believe that Satan can have a peek at our destiny, and he orchestrates certain things to get us off track. To stay in our name, stay in our reputation, so that when we do come into our destiny, there are accusers who can say, well, they don't deserve to do this, or they don't deserve that, because look what they did such and such a time. He knew that David was going to be king, and I believe he orchestrated this whole thing so he can put a blot on David's name. But, God have a way of, of protecting us. God used Abigail to make a way of escape for David so that, that he did not have to shed Nabal's and his household's blood. And so we see she mediated as well as she interceded. There are times in our lives when we can play the role of both. We can both be a mediator as well as an intercessor. I hadn't thought about this story in years, decades actually. I was probably about, 16, 17, me and my friend, the pastor's daughter, we were best friends. We decided we were going to play a peacemaker between the pastor's wife, and this other sister in the church. The two of them had some kind of a falling out. I don't know what it was, but they weren't speaking to each other. And so we got together and we decided we were going to tell, one was going to tell the mother that, so-and-so wanted to talk to them. And she believed it. The pastor's wife, my friend went to her mom and said, Mom, Sister so-and-so, she wants to talk to you. She wants to know she can come over. And of course, she agreed. And then I ran over and I told, Sister so-and-so said she would like to see you. And she believed. And so she went to the house boldly, because she was invited. Those two didn't know that we set them up. We were playing peacemaker. And so when she stepped into the home, she was welcomed, and they just started talking. Now my friend and I, we were in the bedroom, we were peeking through the door, hoping that we wouldn't be discovered, But they just started talking. They must have talked for about an hour, and by the time, the sister Daisy, she left, they were friends. We were peacemakers. We mediated between the two and brought them back together. Jesus is our mediator.
That's right.
Abigail mediated between David and her husband and saved their entire household from being slain. Imagine the amount of bloodshed that would have resulted if she hadn't acted, you know, quickly. You know, sometimes we have to be quick. You know, we can't drag our feet about things. And so she played a role, mediator and intercessor. There are going to be times when we, as God's children, are going to be required to play that role, to mediate between, you know, parties or intercede, you know, on behalf of so-and-so, you know. That's what God likes. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for his children to create conflict and promote strife, you know, fan the flame. You know, some people like to do that. They like to, you know, they see a little spark and they just go and throw, you know, gas on there, and next thing you know, there's a huge fire. That's not what God likes. Now let me move on. So she sowed David's anger, you know, after he listened to her uplifting and encouraging words, his anger was appeased, and he accepted the gift, and instead of wiping out the lot of lies, he turned back and went to his hole out in the wilderness. Now listen to this. Abigail, she offered material gifts to appease God's wrath. She offered food and cakes, you know, that sort of stuff. Jesus offered up his own life by shedding his blood to make atonement for our sins so the wrath of God would not fall on us. As David accepted Abigail's gift, so God accepted the blood of Jesus. You see the parallel? She was a type of Christ. As she gave, you know, she was willing to basically take her own life into her hands because David was so angry. There's no telling. I mean, you know, back in those days, women weren't considered much. He could have said away with that foolish woman. You know, give me that navel, off with his head. You know, he could have just shoved her aside or killed her because he was angry. But she was willing to take that chance, to take that risk. And what did Jesus do? He offered up his own life. You see the parallel? Jesus is both mediator and intercessor on our behalf. Going back to Bible Hub, an intercessor only pleads, a mediator guarantees. He takes upon himself a responsibility. Abigail did both. She interceded and risked her very life. Christ is also our intercessor by virtue of his relationship with the Father. He is God's Son. He is also our mediator by virtue of his atonement, by virtue of the price that he paid, his blood that he shed. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator by relationship. And he's and because of what he did on the cross, he fulfilled both of them. We can intercede or plead on behalf of others through our mediator who sits on the right hand of God making intercession for us. You know, Jesus is seated on the right hand. He is interceding. He's praying for us. The Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit takes over. You know, sometimes when I'm driving, a lot of times, you know, I use that time to pray, especially if I'm going a distance. And there are times when I will hear myself saying certain things, certain words or phrases will be coming out my mouth. And then I'll think, where did that come from? You know, the wording, the way how I said it wasn't something that I thought about, but that's the Holy Spirit. That's how he does. King James says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Passion says, in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us in our weakness. For example, at times, we don't know how to pray. Have you all been there? Or know the best thing to ask for? But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to supersede. I like that. He supersedes on our behalf, pleading with God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God used Abigail. I'm quite sure, you know, she probably repeated as she was journeying to meet David to intercept him from, you know, from going to their home. She was probably rehearsing in her head what she was going to say. Don't we do that when we're in a situation of, you know, what I'm going to say, you know? But the Holy Spirit, he will speak. The words that she spoke to David, I believe they were spirit-inspired. It was enough to calm David's anger. It was enough to make him think, okay, you know, I'm about to kill some people here. Maybe that's not such a good idea. You know, God gave David an escape. He gave him a way of escape. God will give us a way of escape. When we're in a situation and we're angry and we're ready to tell, you know, so-and-so off, tell or give them a piece of our minds, you know, God will, at the right time, he will bring someone across our path, someone who will say something to us, you know, to calm our nerves, calm our anger. You know, that person, what they're doing, and a lot of times they don't even realize it, they're mediating between parties. And so Abigail, she saved the day, didn't she? You know, let us strive to be mediators as well as intercessors. God is looking for intercessors. He's looking for mediators. He's looking for people who is willing to put their life on the line. You know, these days in this society that we're living, it's difficult to find people who will put themselves on the line, especially if they don't know you. But those are exactly the kinds of people God is looking for. People who will intercede on behalf of others, whether they know them or not. People who will mediate, you know. People who is not looking, well, I better not say this or I'll lose my job. You know, that's the culture we're living in. The enemy is trying to silence us, you know, put a Band-Aid on our mouth. But if we are bold like Abigail, we can save the day. I trust this lesson has been a blessing to you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.